We'll read the word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 23 to 11, verse 1. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever's sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? And if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offence either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. This is the word of God. Really, in an evening service, what ministers should do is you should say, can you remember what happened this morning? Because I know what often happens, that we hear something and then you get more information in the evening and you can get information overload and we don't really digest. I've been tempted to preach a sermon, I've said this to many people, on Psalm 1. And the title would be, Read Your Bible Less. Well, at least everyone would remember the title. Because I think that what we need to do, because Psalm 1 talks about meditating on God's word, chewing it up, digesting it. And that's really what we need to do, is to meditate on it, to digest it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask you what we did this morning, because I know that it's all, you remember it all. Well, look, if you just remember some, that's great. But this morning, you know, we did talk about us being soldiers, soldiers of Christ the King. And that we're engaged in a battle for the kingdom, and we still are. It wasn't just this morning, we still are, and when we go out that door, it'll be so, and particularly as we go about our business in the week that lies ahead. We're all engaged in a battle for the kingdom. So we're all soldiers, but also, changing things slightly, we're all missionaries. We're all missionaries sent by the King to spread the gospel. We're all missionaries to spread the gospel, to call rebellious people to repentance and to tell them that there's a way of forgiveness and the love of God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And we're all missionaries. And I think it's good to think that way because, you know, if you were to be a missionary overseas, you'd think, now what do I have to do? You'd be very focused, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, I really have to learn the culture. I have to maybe eat differently. I have to put up with certain things that I wouldn't do before. I must be careful in everything I do because I'm a missionary. But we really should bring that mindset over here. We're missionaries here, just as much as if we were in Cambodia or Vietnam or in South America. We're missionaries here. Because everyone who's been saved by the Lord Jesus is a missionary. See, the gospel message has to get out. And we've all got different jobs to do. We're not all the same. I think some of the problems that we have with certain encouragements to evangelism is that we're all given the example of Paul as if we have to be Paul's. Well, Paul was an apostle. We're not all apostles. He gave some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, some to be apostles and prophets. We're not all the same. We're different. Got different jobs to do, but we've all got the same goal in mind, and that is to win the war, to spread the gospel. All of us. I often use the illustration of the army. In the military, there's a goal. The goal is to win the war, but not everybody's up the front firing the bullets. You've got the people in the who are cooking the meals. I've said sometimes you wonder whose side they're on, but nevertheless, you've got people cooking the meals. But they've all got the same job, right? We've all got the same aim, and that is to win the war, correct? And so it is in the church. We're all different, but we've all got the same aim. We're all missionaries, even though we've got different jobs to do. But tonight, we can't talk about what the different jobs are. But there's one thing that we all have to do, and we all have to live a missionary lifestyle. We all have to live a missionary lifestyle. It's not an optional extra. This is for us. And Paul here talks about the missionary lifestyle, because how we live commends the gospel or hinders the gospel. How we live commends the gospel or hinders the gospel. We can say as much as we like, but if our lives don't commend the gospel, it'll be an excuse for people not to take the claims of Christ seriously. And so talking about mission lifestyle is extremely important, and that's what I want to speak about tonight. A lifestyle that commends the gospel. Well, there's a principle, and it's just the passage that we've been reading. Principle for mission lifestyle, which is the Christian lifestyle, is when you act, think of others. When you act, think of others, not me, but others, for the gospel. Here's an aside. This is extremely important to me, and I think it's made a lot of difference in my life. And if you can just grasp that before we go, even if you forget everything else that happens, just remember this. Think of the other person. Think of the other person, because that's what the mission lifestyle is about. We look at verse 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, says Paul, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now it looks like, now we're not sure, but it looks like the Corinthians had a principle, at least some of them. That is that everything was permissible. All things were lawful. And Paul agrees, all things are lawful. You see, we're Christians, we're free in Christ. That's true, we're free in Christ. We're free, of course we're not free to sin, but we're free from a whole lot of things that people weren't before. Well, we are free from sin, and we're free from certain cultural rules of the Old Testament and from their laws. There's great matters of indifference, things that are lawful, they're okay. We're free from the law as far as justification is concerned, ceremonial laws, a whole lot of things that we're free from. So what Paul says, all things are lawful for me, he's free, but not all things are helpful. There's something that can override that. Paul's already said this in chapter 6. He says there's a limit on what you do, even though you're free. He says, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So you can do all these things, but if it hinders you as a Christian in your Christian life, then don't do it. It might be okay for that person or that person. That person might be able to watch that TV program. I can't. Okay? Now I've got to be strong and say, I can't do it. This person may be able to drink alcohol and this person can't. I've got to be... That's the first restriction. But here's another restriction. All things are lawful, but is it good for the other person? Is it good for the other... Does it edify them? Does it edify them? Does it help them? So that's a principle. Is it good for other people? That's mission lifestyle. Is it good for other people? Now, you know that's a biblical principle. We all know Leviticus 19:18. How do you remember it's Leviticus 19:18? Because that's when the First World War finished, 19:18, and it is love your neighbour as yourself. Okay? Remember that forever now. But it's good, isn't it? That's a biblical principle. Or if you bring it into the New Testament, Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Think of the other person. Now just let that soak in. That's what we're called to, Not sometime, but all the time. All the time, we've got to be thinking of the other person. Is it good for them? And it's a hard principle to follow, but it's a very Christian principle, and it's part of mission lifestyle. And if you find it difficult, it's part of sanctification. Lord, the Lord will teach you if you're willing to grow in caring for the other person and thinking about them. So the principle we're asking is it good for others? Will it help them, listen to me, will it help them come to Christ or will it hinder them? Will it help them come to Christ or hinder them? Will it make the gospel attractive or ugly? Will it be for their good or not? There's the principle. It's there in verses 23 and 24. Even though it's not sin in itself, if it hinders the gospel going to them, then don't do it. Now, Paul goes on, he illustrates the principle. Very practical. And this is how it works for the Corinthians, but I'm sure you'll be able to pick this up and apply it in other situations. It has to do with eating idle meat. And Paul says, eating idle meat, that's not meat that's tired. That means meat that's been offered to idols. Idle meat is okay, right? So scenario one, he talks about the meat market. I'm in verses 25 and 26. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. You see, what's going on here? Well, see, this is not it's not like our local butcher or the supermarket. The meat market in Corinth was down the bottom of the hill, so far as I know. But up the top, you've got the Acropolis. And there are the temples. And what happens in the temples? They sacrifice meat. And it's sacrificed to idols. But there's an awful lot of it. So what does it do? Well, it ends up in the meat market. Hello, everyone in Corinth knows it ends up in the meat market. What's he say? Don't stress. Don't stress. Whose meat is it? It's the Lord's. Right? What's an idol? Nothing. Right? Now, he said before, don't go and worship with them. But he says, as far as the meat's concerned, it's in the meat market, you buy it, don't ask any questions because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's not a drama. Don't stress. There's freedom in Christ. Eating idle meat is okay. Scenario one. You with me? But now, scenario two. You go to the unbeliever's house. And so, okay to go to an unbeliever's house. Let's be careful. Another aside. Can't it be that we have a problem with spreading the gospel because we don't mix with unbelievers much? You might, right? But it can be a real problem. We're just not mixing up with unbelievers. And so we can't bring the gospel to them, even by the way we live or what we say. So we have to be careful about that. But Paul says, no, look, it's okay. Go to the unbeliever's house. Verse 27, if any one of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, go. Eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Now look, they go to someone's house and here's meat. Hello, we're in Corinth. We know what's happened. Do we know what's happened? Of course we know what's happened. Where have they got it? They've got it at the meat market. Where did it come from? Came from the temple. Okay? But he says, look, don't stress. Who's the Lord's? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, don't stress. You're free in Christ. So you see what he's saying? It's okay. It's okay. All things are lawful. That's not a problem. Okay. You don't have to worry about it. Eating idle meat is okay. But scenario three. We've had one, meat market. Two, gone to someone's house. It's okay. But now there's a limit. The mindset that we have to have is what? Is it good for the other person? That's the mission lifestyle. Is it good for the other person? Does it help them in their spiritual journey, in their relationship to Christ, in helping them embrace the gospel? Does it help them? What do I do? It's okay, but I have to be thinking of the other person. And now someone raises the issue of this meat that's been offered to idols. But if anyone says to you, verse 28, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. You see, he's saying, don't eat it. See, is there a problem? Is idol meat a problem? No, it's not. Because your conscience has changed? No. See, verse 29, he says, conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. It's not your conscience that's changed, but it's the other person's. See, because what's the principle? The principle is think of the other person and what's good for them. Think of the other person and what's good for them. See, because what might happen? The other person might not be helped. They'd be harmed spiritually. Listen to me. Harmed spiritually. And that matters. Does that matter? Of course it matters. What if you've got a really weak believer? A weak believer could be led to violate his or her conscience. The weak believer sees it and says, oh, boy, I don't think I should do that. But oh, well, okay, I'll do it anyway. Right? Now, Paul's already told them, if a weak believer does something against their conscience, which is against their conscience in relationship to the Lord, then that is sin in them. They shouldn't violate their conscience. And so what have you caused them to do? You've caused them to stumble. Not because it's wrong in itself, but because it violates their conscience. A weak believer, it's a bad thing to do. But what if it's an unbeliever? Well, say if the unbeliever is a pagan, says, you know, that's been offered to idols, and you take it. Oh, thinks to himself, being a Christian doesn't make all that much difference, really. I can go up there and I can worship the idols and I can be a Christian at the same time. Totally wrong. See, because I haven't thought of the other person. I've taken the meat, they've got a question, and I should have just left it alone. Or it could be a Jewish person. Jewish person says, you know, it's been offered to idols. Same scenario. Sees me taking the meat and says, it's following Christ. Nothing in it really. It's really, it doesn't change your life at all. Now, I know it does, you know it does, but the Jewish person is turned off the gospel. Leave it alone. If they've got a problem, leave it alone. Paul says in another place, I won't eat or drink meat or whatever if it hinders the gospel. I'll just eat vegetables. That's fine for the gospel. So what's the point? The point is, think of the other person. You're free in Christ to do all sorts of things, but first and always, is it good for the other person? Other person in terms of the gospel. To be others oriented is where it's at for us in our mission lifestyle, to be others oriented. So really there's a personal checkup. How others oriented are you? We'll talk more about that as we go on, but think about it. But now Paul moves on, he moves on to the big principle. And I'm down to verse 31. And now I've skipped a little bit there. I'll read through it. If anyone asks you this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other person. For why is my liberty, which I can do, judged by another man's conscience? In other words, they point the finger at you as a Christian and say, you're doing something wrong, even though you're not. If I partake with thanks, which I would be doing, why am I evil spoken of as a Christian for the food over which I give thanks? Don't do it. It brings shame on the gospel. And so therefore, the big principle, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. There's the big principle, the overall principle, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, everything we do should bring glory to God. Now you see, here he's summing things up. You see, he says, therefore, in other words, this is the conclusion of an argument. So being careful about how you eat and drink, and it may even go back further than that, but being careful about how you eat and drink with respect to things offered to idols and people having conscience problems, do it in a way that brings glory to God. What a principle this is. It's extensive. You see, it relates to eating and drinking in front of, pagan sacrifices. That's the immediate issue. But it says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. He's used one example. That's meat offered to idols. But he's saying in everything you should be thinking of the other person. It's life embracing. There's no time out in this. It's 24/7. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, Do it all so God gets the glory. Now, what we tend to do is we think, oh, that just means I have to do a diligent job. But remember that the focus is on how you relate to other people. Now, it is too, you have to do a good job and give 100 cents in the dollar and so on. But the point that he's making is, how do you relate to other people? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, think about others and the gospel. It's mission and missionary lifestyle. You see, it involves a purpose, and it's a purpose and not just so that we'll be seen as clean skins. It's to bring glory to God. You see, the shorter catechism is right, where it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's true. It's not just a negative principle. You know, we can think, I will not do things that dishonour God. No, it's a positive principle. Whatever you do, do all so that God will get the glory. Not merely so that you'll be clean, but so that God will get the glory. See, we can think of it in a negative way, and almost we withdraw from society. Touch not, taste not, handle not, so that we don't sin. But here it's a positive principle, doing everything so that God will get glory. That's what we want. We want God to get glory. I'm running ahead of myself here, but I've got to do it. Okay? See, what do we want? I'm asking you, what do we want? What do we want is we want people out there. Don't we want people out there? Shouldn't we want people out there to be in here? Or if they're not in here, somewhere else, worshipping God. Yeah? Isn't that what we should be wanting? Yes. And that will bring glory to God, yes? Okay. And so what we're saying is, missionary lifestyle, we're saying, that's what we want. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, be seeking God to get more glory tomorrow than he's getting today. You hear what I'm saying? See? And that's the principle. It's a positive principle. It's not withdrawing from society, but it's seeking to have the gospel spread so that people will change. Now, he goes on. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And he applies it. And he applies it. And he applies it with respect to the salvation of other people. So you see here it's salvation-oriented, just like I said at the beginning. It's gospel-oriented. It's missionary lifestyle. Act, he says, for the salvation of other people. This is the thing that brings glory to God, as I just said. And notice first then he says the negative, right? He's giving more application. Verse 32, he says, give no offence either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Don't give an offence. Anything that would turn them off unnecessarily from the gospel, don't give offence. I've already mentioned, and here it comes, either to Jews, to Greeks or to the church of God. Anything that would turn them off or hinder them in their spiritual life. Don't do it. The gospel is the only thing that should turn people off. There's nothing else that should turn the people off unnecessarily. Not our clothing, our eating habits, our attitude, our music, our buff-headedness, anything like that. We shouldn't offend people. Because there's a principle that is more important, and that is that the gospel gets across. Not our clothing. I heard of a missionary in Nigeria. It was hot in Nigeria. Now, there seem to be, at least in some parts of Nigeria, that men don't take their shirts off. This missionary thought, this is ridiculous. And he rode around his motorbike without a shirt on. It was offensive to people. Right? Did it matter in the big scheme of things? No. Did it matter with respect to the gospel? Yes. See? Because it offended people. Right? He was offending people, and he wasn't following verse 32, give no offence. What about eating habits? You've got to learn what the cultural thing is. If people eat with their right hand and only their right hand, guess what you ought to do? Only eat with your right hand. Right? Whatever we do, don't give offence. So that's the negative. But also, there's the positive side. So it's not just refraining. The positive side is verse 33a, just as I also please all men in all things. That is, trying to please others, whoever they are. Yes, please others. Please others. It says that Herod, when Salome danced, he was pleased. It says that when the church... When the apostles said, let's appoint deacons, the church was pleased. We understand pleased? OK. Okay. We try to please others. And so we are pleased, except of course we don't change the gospel. That's an exception. We don't change the gospel message. That would be a terrible thing to do. But outside of that, we do things to please others for the gospel's sake. Because it says in verse 33, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. It's others-oriented, not for my good, but for their good. And so I'm just asking you, how do you relate to your family, to your neighbours, to your co-workers, to the person who makes the pizza, or the girl or the boy who's at the checkout in the supermarket? How do you relate to them? How do you think about them? Are you thinking about their good and not your own? Think about what it might involve doing all things for the sake of the gospel. Think of what it might involve. Paul himself, earlier on, said, I could take money for preaching the gospel. I'm not going to do it. This is not good for either Gordon or David over there. Okay, I'm putting a powerful tool in your hand, brothers and sisters. Okay, but anyway, but Paul said, I won't take any money, right? Because it'll hinder the gospel. So in other words, it's a career choice for the sake of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, will we, oh, not just you, it's me too, will we make career choices for the sake of the gospel? That's big. Cultural adaptation. Now, we all know I become all things to all men in order that I might save some. Yes? I become all things to all men. Cultural adaptation. See, Paul was willing to be a Jew amongst the Jews and a Gentile amongst the Gentiles. He was very sensitive to where people are. For what purpose? For the sake of the gospel. And there's a factor in how we relate to those around us. This may not work in America, but we'll see what happens. Fellas, if Charles, your next-door neighbour... Oh, this might not work at all. Anyway, if Charles, your next-door neighbour, was keen on classical music... Yeah, you're probably all keen on classical music. Ah, anyway... Is anyone here not keen on classical music? I'm speaking to you, okay? Okay. If your neighbour Charles was keen on classical music, would you, fellas who don't really like classical music, would you try and learn a bit about classical music just so you could get on with your neighbour Charles? You hear what I'm saying? That's a choice. It's a cultural choice for the sake of the gospel. Ladies... I don't know what you think about that mobile wrestling game that they play over here. You know the one I'm talking about. They throw a bit of pigskin around and, okay, yeah. You know the one I'm talking about, okay. Now, ladies, I don't know whether you think that's good or bad, but it can be that there are some ladies, Donna and Cheryl, down the road who just think it's great, you know. Now, are you going to get, just learn a little bit about what it's about so that you can relate to Donna and Cheryl? I mean, this is a real situation, you know. That Donna and Cheryl really care about this game. Do you care about Donna and Cheryl and the gospel? Guys, Charles really likes classical music. It doesn't matter whether you don't like it. Do you care about the gospel? Now, you can make your other applications, but that's what he's saying, right? All things to all men and women for the sake of the gospel. Would I eat tuna casserole for the sake of the gospel? Now, I don't like tuna casserole. I'm just telling you that. Okay, but really, I said this to Steph. I said, look, I once saw we used to go to see pictures of missionaries when I was young, films and things. I now say, look, if missionaries eat monkeys' brains for the sake of the gospel, I can eat tuna casserole. Okay? All right. But it's true. That's what they did. That's what missionaries do. See, isn't that what missionaries do? They eat all sorts of weird stuff for the sake of the gospel. Who here is not a missionary? So I said that because I knew you wouldn't put your hand up if I said who is. Okay, but you hear what I'm saying? We're all missionaries. And so I have eaten tuna casserole for the sake of the gospel. Okay? No? Okay. No. Okay. Would you support the New England Patriots for the sake of the gospel? Okay. Okay. But see, you hear it? Okay? See, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know exactly what I'm talking about. See? What's more important, the cults or the gospel? See? Okay. There you go. See, we know what it's all about, and that's what we're saying. And this is relevant when you walk out of here, when you relate to those people around you. Right? Because it says, what does it say? Hello, give no offence, either to Jews or Greeks or the Church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. Missionary lifestyle. Missionary lifestyle. So that they may be saved. I ask you this question. Now, when I was in Palestine a little while ago, I was living in Bethlehem, and I had to go through the checkpoint when I wanted to go to Jerusalem. And I was there cheek by jowl with all these Palestinians having to go through as well. And I just kept saying to myself, I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. And I tried to live, because when you're being jostled, do you ever get irritable? Yeah, but you're the Christian. I am a Christian. Because even though they didn't know I was a Christian, they might find out down there, and I do something really grumpy, irritable, rude. They might find out in 2 days that I am a Christian, and they say, huh, that's what Christians are like. But if I step back and let them go through, for instance, to commend the gospel, I'm a Christian. How are you in the supermarket checkout line? Are you a Christian in the supermarket checkout line? I mean, I can make it humorous, but I mean, you know how it can be. You go, look at that. Oh, they're putting through their credit card. I can't believe this. Have they got 15 items? They've only got 15. Yeah, I thought they had more. Whatever. What's the matter? Oh, they've forgotten their PIN number. I can't believe this. You know, you can be real. You know what I'm saying? You put on a show. You're a Christian. Hello. And they may not know, but mightn't they just say, how do you drive your car? Do you drive your car like a Christian? I'm serious. Do you drive your car? You know what I'm saying, right? You know, when my wife said I'm going to check, she heard this sermon, she said, I'm going to check you, I'm going to be watching you, okay? But you know how it can be, that you're going along and this person wants to come in and you just put your foot down a little just to keep them out, okay? Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't you know what I'm talking about, okay? You're a Christian. You're the Christian. Who knows that down the track, if you just slow down, you let them in and they might say, and they see you later on, and you actually, they know you're, they say, boy, that was good, you know. He's the guy who let me in. Okay. No, now, you can think of a whole lot of practical examples, but you see how it fits in exactly with what Paul's saying. Whether therefore you eat or drink or stand in the supermarket checkout line or drive your car or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, to commend, not hinder, the gospel. You see, because what he says is, just as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's the point. We want the gospel to spread. Now, we know that it's God who'll change hearts, but he uses means. Paul says, just as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And see, what you could say is, and it's not a bad thing to say, you could say, well, you see, that's Paul. He's an apostle. He had a special job to do. But I'm not an apostle. The minister just told me that on Sunday, that we've all got different jobs to do, and I'm not an apostle. But see, look at chapter 11, verse 1. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. This is for all of us. It's not just the Apostle Paul. And so, I'm a missionary, you're a missionary. Good one or a bad one, but that's what we are. 24/7. And the mission field is just outside that door. And when we walk out, we're living for the Lord, for the sake of the gospel. Will you do that? Will you ask the Lord to to help you to do that better this week. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Oh Lord God, we, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll help us to be better missionaries by the way we live, remembering that we are Christians, so that our lives might commend our words. Help us, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen.